sure you can hear me. Yeah, I think we can start. Others will join us. Others will join us. We only have 3 members here. One member was here at 9, unfortunately. She had to go back. I don't know if she will come back, Mrs. Dreya. And I've got an apology of Mr. Nkongi. He is attending a National Youth Development Agency public hearing. Of course, we don't need a quorum because today is just to get a briefing on ex-mine workers' report. As we know that there has been a task team for that. Now today we have Ntate Boa Seruwe, the commissioner in UIF, who is going to brief us on that. And of course we'll take it from there, because I won't say that we haven't seen the report, but to rather get a briefing and then we'll definitely have to sit down and look at it. So members, welcome back from your different constituencies. I know that it has been a very hectic holidays or recess. This week you are only here for a week. We will be going back to our constituencies. I'm just hoping that we are doing enough for this coming elections. And yes, maybe we will be called back. We will be called back sometime, because there are so many pieces of legislation that has to be dealt with. I don't know if we are going to be able to deal with all the bills this week. But to my understanding is that this is our very last week until next year. But anyway, without wasting any more time, because I also have to go back to my meeting where we are being briefed by the Auditor General as chairpersons of both houses. So I'll definitely have to quickly go back to that meeting. Welcome, Dr. Boas, and take over. Thanks.
And thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I have prepared a report on behalf of the task team. With me, I have Uhlonishwa Mbaka, who is a parliamentary officer. I also have Uboniswa from Mineral and Energy, Hene, who is a member of this task team. Chairperson, because of time constraints, the report has been summarized, but we also have the recommendations that we want you to look at. I will quickly go through the report. The Portfolio Committee Labor Report of the Interdepartmental Task Team on Ex-Mine Workers. We start with the background that the following the occasions of the People's Assembly, which took place in Bizana, in the Eastern Cape from the 17th to the 19th of September 2007, Parliament established the Ad Hoc Committee on Matters Relating to the Ex-Mine Workers, hereafter referred to as Committee. A motion was tabled in the National Assembly on the 19th of September 2007, for the establishment of the committee to look at the concerns of ex-mine workers' union. The following terms of reference of the committee. These are the terms of reference. The first one is to investigate matters raised in submissions from ex-mine workers' union, to take into consideration records, reports, and submissions by stakeholders who have all previously been involved in this matter, including the Premier, Premier's Office of the Eastern Cape, the Office of the Executive Mayor of the OR Tambo District Municipality, the Office of the Mayor of Tshwane, the Presidency, government departments such as the Department of Labor, Minerals and Energy, Health and Social Development. The committee to exercise those powers in Rule 138 that may assist in it carrying out its task and to make recommendations that could assist in addressing the above mentioned and related problems. Chairperson, the committee comprised of 13 members from different parties represented in the National Assembly. The committee was initially required to report to the National Assembly in October 2007, a date later extended to the 31st of March 2008. Now, the following findings were made by the committee after all the submissions from different organizations, the Department of Labor, Department of Health, Mineral Energy, National Treasury, and also Chamber of Mines, NUM, and all other stakeholders involved which came before the committee. After those presentations, the committee made the following findings. The main findings of the committee is that there is substance in the concerns of ex-mine workers. The overall impression that the committee draws is as follows. Chairperson, maybe before I go to these findings, just to give a brief history of the ex-mine workers. It's an organization mainly coming from the Eastern Cape. It is led by Mr. Nomazele. He actually came to the Department of Labor, National Treasury, and also the Presidency, where he believed that there are benefits that ex-mine workers did not get from mines. So he has been interacting with us until he actually went to Mbizana, where the matter was then taken by Parliament. So all the government departments, Chamber of Mines, came to make presentation to indicate whether is there any money for these ex-mine workers from them. So that's why they actually then made the following findings. There are many stakeholders. The main findings of the committee is that there is substance in the concerns of ex-mine workers. The overall impression that the committee draws is as follows. There are many stakeholders in this matter. The stakeholders that appear before the committee absolve themselves of any wrongdoing. The manner in which the whole inquiry unfolded makes it difficult to achieve the desired objectives. Chairperson, these stakeholders absolve themselves in the sense that they said they did not owe any money to the ex-mine workers, also including the departments which were represented. The stakeholders are involved in different activities to attempt to resolve the matter, but there is no coordinated approach. It means, Chairperson, you have the Department of Labor coming alone, the Department of Social Development, National Social Development, Mineral and Energy, and also Department of Health. Now, the committee realized that there's no coordination. There's no one point of reference to look at all these issues. Now, in the past, there were no proper records of identities of miners that were kept, and this makes it difficult to trace ex-mine miners or their beneficiaries. This problem is compounded by the tendency of mine workers not to reveal the terms of their employment benefits to their spouses. Chairperson, just to also give clarity here, while at the Department of Labor, we tried, and even the Department of Health, to help the ex-mine workers, we realized that there are no records on our system to indicate their employment services, where they worked, any money that is owed to them. So that actually gives a credence to what is mentioned here, that there are no records, no proper records of identities of mine workers that were kept, and this makes it difficult to trace ex-miners or their beneficiaries. As a result of the difficulties in tracing beneficiaries, monies that are supposed to be paid to them are kept by institutions. The following institutions were identified. Fidentia, there is 789 million that is sitting with Fidentia. The National Department of Health, Chairperson, had 20 million. The initial amount was 54 million. So the 34 million was actually dispersed or paid to people who qualified. So the 20 million, they can't get those people to come and claim their benefits. Also, the Chamber of Mines, there's an amount of 42 million that sits with them. They indicated through their pension funds that they have been trying to trace some of the ex-mine workers. It is in this vein, Chairperson, that the committee said, but if there is money and there are people who are saying they are owed, then there is substance to the claims of ex-mine workers. The ex-mine workers want the definition of a beneficiary to be expanded to include distant relatives like the in-laws. This may be considered if there are legal limitations related to the roles of the funds in which ex-mine workers are members. Chairperson, here this is supported by the fact that sometimes the pension funds and also the UIF, you actually have a limitation on the people that you pay. For instance, the UIF only pays if a beneficiary dies. It only pays the spouse or the child. The in-laws and other people are not actually paid, like the parents. So that's why they say maybe there's a need to expand the definition of a beneficiary to include distant relatives. It came out during the inquiry that in the process of attempting to resolve this matter, promises were made by certain departments and institutions. The mining houses are denying knowledge of records that are supposed to have been kept by them, because they said there is the money, but we don't have records of these people who come to claim, and therefore we cannot pay because we can't identify these people on our system. Now, the Provident Fund was identified as the main holder of the monies for ex-mine workers. The committee made the following recommendations, Chairperson. The first one is there is a need to establish the establishment of an interdepartmental task team consisting of the Department of Labor, Department of Health, Department of Minerals and Energy, and also National Treasury. The main task of the interdepartmental task team should be: the first one is to process the findings and recommendations that have been made, which were the previous ones where they said there is substance on the grievances of the ex-mine workers. Number B, to trace all the monies that belong to the ex-mine workers. And also to publish regular reports on both the electronic and print media. And also, Chairperson, once this money has been traced, it then must be paid by the interdepartmental task teams to the beneficiaries. Now, what this means, it means the task team under the department or leadership of the Department of Labor has to take all these monies and transfer them to the state and take a role of now the dispensing these funds to the beneficiaries. Now, the interdepartmental task team should be headed by a senior official from the Department of Labor. All the claims have to be processed from one office, which should be coordinated and managed by the interdepartmental task team. Monies for ex-mine workers that could not be traced must be transferred to the state. The committee recommends that the seeded money should be used for development in the labor sending areas. This should follow after the process to trace the beneficiaries has been substantially exhausted. So it means this money should be used for job creation if we cannot identify or substantially find the beneficiaries. In relation to 6.4, which is of the report to Parliament, which I've circulated, relevant legislation regarding the transfer and the use of money may require amendment. In addition, the rules of the relevant pension funds must be amended, and this might also require legislation as in some respect this will amount to expropriation. To move funds from the pension fund to the state, there must be a legislation that should be changed to enable the state to be able to do that. That can be either done by an act or maybe there's also the provision in the act that can actually be done. The transaction made between Old Mutual and Fidentia needs to be investigated, as this could involve huge sums of money. Because this money, Chairperson, was previously, the one that is with Fidentia, was previously with Old Mutual. Now, it was transferred from Old Mutual to Fidentia, and we all know that Fidentia is under liquidation or sequestration at this point in time. Now, they say this, there must be an investigation for the movement of Old Mutual to Fidentia to establish the reasons why the money was moved from Old Mutual to Fidentia. All documents kept by the stakeholders that could assist in tracing beneficiaries should be surrendered to the interdepartmental task team and kept by the Department of Labor. The Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Labor should play an oversight role in the implementation of the recommendations and should receive regular briefings from the interdepartmental task team. And this is the first briefing, Chairperson. Now, under discussions, Chairperson, we're trying to report on the progress that has been registered so far. Based on the recommendations of the ad hoc committee, the acting director general of the Department of Labor secured the nominations of representatives of National Treasury, the Department of Health, and the Department of Mineral and Energy to serve on the recommended interdepartmental task team. He further appointed the Unemployment Insurance Fund Commissioner to convene the task team meetings. National Treasury Chairperson is represented by Judy Naidu. The Department of Health has nominated Advocate Maide Ngake, and the Department of Mineral and Energy has nominated Boni Swahene. The interdepartmental task team meeting convened by the Department of Labor was convened by the Department of Labor on the 13th of August 2008, and National Treasury and the Department of Health representatives attended. At that point, the Department of Minerals and Energy did not have a representative. The task team made the following recommendations, Chairperson. These are the recommendations that are important and should be noted by the committee and also be discussed, Chairperson, to determine whether they are agreeable or not. The first one is that the interdepartmental task team should meet with the Portfolio Committee of Labor to discuss its terms of reference and its mandate. That is very important. So for them to understand how they need to go about doing their work, it will need to get guidance from Portfolio Committee Labor on how to go about execute its work. The Portfolio Committee should advise the interdepartmental task team on the scope of the work and advise on who is the ex-mine worker in the context of this project, Chairperson, because there are so many ex-mine workers, and the report talks about ex-mine workers. If somebody, for instance, has stopped working 3 years back, is that person supposed to be covered by this particular project? We also recommend, Chairperson, that cabinet ministers of the participating department should be informed of the existence of the task team and its mandate. This will ensure that the work of the interdepartmental task team is supported at the highest level in government departments so that we can not have blockages, because it is going to take some time and resources, and it's important that the ministers give the blessings to this particular project. The task team should be allowed to determine the resources that will be required to execute its mandate and will be sent for approval to the Portfolio Committee of Labor and the Minister of Labor. The resources will include, among others, Chairperson, human resources, outside service providers, office equipment, and financial resources necessary to execute the recommendations of the committee. Chairperson, in the recommendations of the committee, it is indicated that the money must be traced. So if people have to move from one point to another, you need human resources to be able to do that, to trace where all the money is. If there's going to be some disbursements or payments of this money, we will need people who need to be employed and do that work. If we need to look at the legislation, how to change it, you also need the lawyers and to be able to assist in that regard. The existence of the committee and its mandate should be made known to all the structures, which in this case, Chairperson, the Portfolio Committee, to all the structures and the organizations that it will interface with. We recommend that the Portfolio Committee of Labour convene a meeting with all stakeholders who made presentations to the committee, that is the ad hoc committee, to inform them of the recommendations of the committee, Chairperson. This will ensure that institutions that are involved will cooperate with the Portfolio Committee of Labour and also the Interdepartmental Task Team on Ex-Mine Workers. Regular meetings should be held with Ex-Mine Workers Union and other stakeholders in order to brief them on progress in the implementation of the recommendations of the committee. The task team will set out a project plan with timeframes to indicate how the work, the project will be executed. This project plan, a chairperson, will be brought before the Portfolio Committee for discussion and approval. A project steering committee will also be set up to monitor the implementation of the project on a monthly basis. The steering committee should include the labor unions in the mining industries and also the Chamber of Mines. Lastly, chairperson, we recommend that regular meetings should be set up between the Portfolio Committee labor to discuss progress on the implementation of the project plan, which means the interdepartmental task team must, on a regular basis, which will be determined by the committee, come and brief the Portfolio Committee on the progress that is made, so that the committee can be able to execute its oversight responsibility. And thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Yeah, members, here is the report. I know that we need more time to go and look at it more, especially now we are being given a task of leading this the whole issue, as well as the Department of Labor, which is really leading this. But this is the first meeting.
Thank you.
Now, it is up to us. We know that this is the only week for us in Parliament this year. Maybe we'll need to prioritize this to say next year, let's invite the task team to come and brief us, really, because I think we need to get more details. But we'll be actually working on recommendations, because we really feel that if there are recommendations, then there has been discussions over this. So we'll be guided by the task team, but you must say thank you, Dr. Serowe, for this report, because this one of the recommendation today that could be this the interdepartmental task team should really, as I've said, to come and give us progress report. There can be some questions. I know that members would want to have questions of clarity before we can really leave.
Yeah.
And you have the committee, I think, as we have mentioned, the number of ministers. I think we should also invite ministers of the relevant department to really give the... I mean, it will be to try and show seriousness on this.
Okay.
As you have said, you are going to be working on this, and you are going to need resources. You need human resources, and of course, indeed, they must show seriousness on this report. And of course, you spoke about the senior official. I don't know if it's page one. Page three on C point bullet point one. There, we don't know who is this official. Who is she or he? And maybe If you can just give us the name, and of course you said the National Department of Health has 20 million for this. It was 54 million and 34 was dispatched. But we don't know. I don't know, members, if you want to be clarified about the money that the task team is should trace. And of course, we've got Fidencia, National Department of Health, Chamber of Mines, those monies put there. Talking about Fidencia, I'm sure you'll want to know more about Fidencia, if that money is there, is it on good hands and so forth. But let me leave this for yourself, members. Do we have any questions or clarities on this? And would you agree with me that this is just a briefing, and since we are given a task on leading this, then we'll have to sit and discuss this these recommendations. Babu Nene?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think thank you very much for this briefing, because there are a lot of people who are claiming that they are supposed to get these monies. But the problem is that it is not easy to trace all of them. And I'm saying that you say it all, because this is a briefing. I think the clarities, more clarities will be coming when the task team is reporting the progress. Because there are grey areas, as the presenter was saying, that we don't know if we're talking about the ex-mine workers for how long, or the criteria which is going to be used. So in all, I'm saying that more clarity than question, I think, will be on the progress report when the task team has met and come with the mechanism of trying to get hold of these people or the publicity, because they will be also discussing about the publicity. How are they going to publicize that? But I'm taking your recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. James Ondeki.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the report or the briefing on this very important matter. Maybe I have a special interest as an ex-mine worker. And I know that a lot of people have been talking to me about this matter. Chairperson, there are a few things that I just want to talk to, and maybe as the presenter goes back, he might want to consider how we should deal with those, so that when we meet next time, we have a little bit of clarity or some guidance on that. The one is, I think it would be important for us to know who qualified for what, from when. Now, if I can make an example, there was what we call the 1970 Mine Workers Provident Fund. I stand corrected. I might just confuse the names. Which was specifically for black mine workers. And it was also, if I recall, for only those that were called your monthly paid, not for your daily paid workers. And later on, through the coming in of the National Union of Mine Workers, we had something else which was called Mine Workers. And I confuse the names now. I think it was called Mine Workers Pension Fund or something like that. That one covered both your daily pays and your monthly pays. And obviously, as I speak, is that there was no retrospective payment. You were only paid from the time when that pension fund, even if you were a mine worker from 1959, you would only qualify for a pension, which, because you were contributing towards that scheme, you would only get your payment from the time when the scheme came into place. So if, for instance, you belong to the 1971, And then later on came this one that came after National Union Mine Workers came into place, which was about around about 1984. It would then, that fund from the pension, 1970 pension, provident fund, would then be transferred into this new fund. So I'm just saying, Chairperson, it's going to be very important that, because there's a lot of confusion outside. People think that they qualify for all lot of things. Now, I think what we need is to have the Chamber of Mines, the mining houses, to sit down with us. I know, for instance, with Anglo-American, certain people qualified for certain benefits. Some people did not qualify for those benefits. It's important that we know who qualified for what. So that, you know, you can't open for everybody. There are people, if people want to claim that I should have qualified, I did not qualify because of apartheid, then that's another issue. But in terms of the law as it stands, whether it's your Chamber of Mines policy, it's your Anglo-American policy, I think we need to get some clarity on that one. I can't recall everything now. It's been many years that I've been out of that system. But I know I've been personally involved with some of those you know, cases where people were not paid what was due to them. Whether you're talking about accidents, for instance, if you're talking about the Chamber of Mines, there were certain people who qualified for certain injuries. But those injuries, because people did not understand them. If I can make an example for you, Chairperson, if you were involved in what was called a slip and fall incident, slip and fall, it means that whilst you are in the shower, you slip and fall. Many people were not paid for that. But only when we scrutinized the policy later on, when I came to the mines, we started realizing that some people had to be back paid from as early as 1960 or so. We did a lot of those. We had to trace people even in Lesotho, Swaziland, Malawi, Mozambique, and some of them we couldn't trace their families. But the other challenge that we had, Chairperson, in terms of the beneficiaries, is that because of the manual system which was used, it meant that you had to have a lot of manpower. The same problem that you had with your manual system in your UIF. So you, in fact, I know literally we had to sit down to go to Chamber of Mines with some of these cases, ask permission to go into their files, because the staff there were not keen to go into those rooms and go to the files that went back as far as 1960. Literally sit down if you had some kind of information and peruse through those files. I know that with the medical aids, with the hospitals, the dressing stations and all those things, we found a lot of them. You had to trace the date when this person was injured and actually see what was the medical report. I've got quite a few cases that I can cite of similar people that were taken off the system because nobody wanted to go into the manual file and actually look at it. It's quite a lot of job, Chairperson. I'm just saying that these are some of the challenges. We might want to know, are we going to have access to the manual file? Because many of these companies, some of them were taken to the Chamber of Mines, if I recall. Mzilikazi, we used to call it Mzilikazi, Gauteng. You remember that, Mzilikazi. And I think that they are still sitting with those files there because many of them were not thrown away. I'm just saying that these are some of the challenges, Chairperson, as we move forward. We might want, one is the clarity as to who qualifies. Because what is happening is that there is a lot of information that is going out. In my own constituency, I've seen pamphlets where people are called to these meetings. I am very worried because I don't know what information is going to be given. I know in the past we had to, you know, call off certain meetings where people were promised that all people that once worked on the mines, they all qualified for death benefits. We never qualified as black people for death benefits. We only started qualifying at some point in time. Now, whether we want to say that if I was employed on the mines in 1953, I should qualify, I think it's a political matter. But in terms of the policy of that company, you did not qualify. You only qualified from when the mine workers started fighting for that benefit. So I'm just saying, Chairperson, there's a lot of information that we might want to have so that as we have the next meeting, at least there's some information ready. I would, in fact, want to recommend that maybe you get some officials from the Chamber of Mines, from some of these mining houses that know what were the policies in the past and what came in later on, so that even ourselves, we are much better informed. As we go to our constituencies, we can inform the people correctly. The other thing is that we might have to have meetings with these people that are going out into the communities and find out what information are they giving to the people. Because I'm just too worried that you might create certain expectations to the people when actually the information is incorrect. I'm not sure how we can guard against. I'm just thinking aloud, Chairperson, that we might want to look at that. How can we engage, for instance, whether it's with your trade unions, and to say that as the people go out and tell the people, I think they must first inform themselves as to what policies and who are the people that qualified and from when did they qualify. The question of who is an ex-mine worker, I think for me it would also be determined by where were you in 1970. If in 1970 there was a scheme and you were already an ex-mine worker and you were not paid that money, then I think that you are an ex-mine worker that can be, you know, considered in that. I'm just making that as an example. I think, Chairperson, I want to, for now, to agree with you that we are going to have to prioritize this matter. But it would also be important that the people that have been indicated here as people that have been nominated by their various departments, I don't know to the presenter whether there would be an opportunity for us to interact with them, so that it's not only the presenter who interacts with us, we interact with those people. And later on also maybe to engage the trade movement, so that there is, one understanding on this matter. We don't come here with various understanding these things differently. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ntate. I think you raised important questions that even if Ntate Sorowe is not really responding to all of them, because we are also saving time, because there is another committee coming in at quarter two, but these are very important questions from an ex-mine worker that can assist us. The other important one is that who qualifies and for what? I think that one is the one which really we can take this response back to our communities or different constituencies to say, here is the thing, maybe it can assist those who are not informed about this. So indeed, we need more information for us to take to our different constituencies. I don't know if there isn't any other. Let me take it back while Ms. Mamkize is still looking at. I will give you a chance, Mamkize. That is Rue. Can you quickly respond to this?
Yeah, Chairperson. I think in the main, we had good recommendations. As I've indicated, the task team wanted a lot of input from the portfolio committee. And I think Mr. Mzondegi has done exactly that, and some of the things that he raises are very important, and we believe that that input it can help us. Number one, because we also recommend that all the stakeholders will come over, Chairperson, like the Chamber of Mines and the unions in the mines, because they have all the details that you're asking for to say, but if you have this amount of money that is sitting there, who does it belong to? And we go to the Department of Health, we also say to them, this amount of money that you say you have and you are unable to trace people, who does it belong to and what are the qualifying requirements? You know, and the task team, we will actually come. Unfortunately, Chairperson, some of the members of the task team were unable to come. We only have Uboniswa, as I've indicated before, but it is our wish to all of us come and participate into this particular process. Chairperson, the senior official from the department at this point in time, it's myself who has been given the task to convene the task team meetings. The money from the Department of Health, Chairperson, as I've indicated, is 54 million. Was 54 million and 34 was dispersed. In the report that we have, which is this report from Parliament, committee report, I think there's page 1000, Chairperson. Yeah, it's 1000. Where the Department of Health indicated that if if I can just go through it. They are saying, in 2003, the department began a process of capturing information from all files, a process which resulted in the compilation of a list of 18,500 names of possible beneficiaries. Now, this list was used to pay a total of 11,200 people who qualified. Each person received 2,700 after approval by the Minister of Health. This process to pay out 11,200 individuals began in March 2003. The money was paid out from the original 54 million, and the current balance per person is that 20.8 million. That is need to be paid out to but untraceable beneficiaries. Now, while the Department of Health was stressing this money, the health mine workers were not happy that were led by Mr. Nomazele, because they were disrupting some of the meetings where the money was dished out. Because the Department of Health was only paying to those people where there were records. So the other people did not have records. And I think the health mine workers wanted this money to be issued without even proper records. But the other complaint, person, with my interaction with them, was that the 2007 was too little, was not adequate, because some of them were actually, they had some diseases that they actually had, and they said, what will they do with this total amount of money? Maybe the portfolio committee, looking at that particular item, and also maybe affording Mr. Nomazele and his ex-mine workers an opportunity to make some presentation. They can maybe understand better, you know, what makes them to believe that the 2007 is not adequate, Chairperson. And I think if you look at the standard of living today, we'll all agree that actually that is not adequate. The other thing that they demanded was on the 54 million, there was the interest on that amount, because they said this money was not sitting somewhere in the house. It was in a bank, so it was earning interest. So that interest that was accrued on the 54 million should be utilized also to give to them.
While you are still there, on page 3 of the presentation, maybe if you can clarify, you're talking about the transaction made between the Old Mutual and Fidentia that needs to be investigated. Is it only because of a huge amount of money or what?
Yeah, it is because Chairperson, it's the huge amount of money that is involved. But also, we know that the money, like you correctly indicated, that it has to some extent been lost. So the question is, if it was with Old Mutual, what actually made people who are responsible for these pensions to decide to say it must move from Old Mutual to Fidentia? Because they say Fidentia was operating as a pyramid scheme. So before you invest some money, you need to look at the rating of that institution to say, is that institution having the rating that is required? So if you look at Old Mutual, it has a higher rating than Fidentia. So we need to... That's why there's a need for us to look into that matter deeply. But also, Chairperson, I wonder whether this can be given to the task team to be able to do, because that is, I think, a matter that is bigger than us. Already we know that there is a company that is doing the sequestration. Maybe they can come and give the reports on what amount of money is left and what has happened. And maybe the Chamber of Mines with NUM can also come and say what were the reasons for them to transfer from Old Mutual to Fidentia. Maybe the returns were higher than at Old Mutual, where the money was before.
There's money that needs to be known about this. Because the same gentleman talking about, I was in this committee. He was talking of the ex-mine workers union in Natal. There's no such union in Natal. And even there, we told him that there's no such thing in the term. And check properly, because my fear is that the maybe some people may try to abuse this for their own ends. And a lot of information is still needed here. The same gentleman you're talking about was not very easy to deal with. Because immediately he's cornered, he'd boil. It would boil immediately and make some threats and all that. And also, I don't know how legal it is, or how do they differ with other workers that you pay members of the extended family. If I was a beneficiary, then I'm no longer there. You pay my wife. If my wife is no longer there, you pay her mother or her father and all that. I think that's abusing the system. Because it's not done with other workers. It's not done with the ex-combatants. Why should it be done to them only? I think you have to look at all of this before.
I think the information will really assist us, and of course that is where will also be of assistance. And really, we are not going to let anyone to mislead us or mislead Parliament, as much as Parliament is there to assist people. But really, we cannot allow an individual claiming to represent people. So there's a huge task that we are faced with, and we are going to need more information. And of course, as you have said, Bonisa Naye will have to, she'll be of assistance, because we will need more information on, get some records. She will definitely have to assist us. Yeah, can you continue, Dati, or just finish up?
Also, the other comment that we noted is coming from Mr. Nene, where he indicated that there is a need for us to report on progress, and also the issue of communication, Chairperson, will be done after you have actually given us a green light on the recommendations that you have made. But Parliament wants us to publish in the newspapers and in other magazines, for instance. If, for instance, we have the names of these people that are sitting with the Chamber of Mines Provident Fund, we need to publish them on the newspaper so these people can come. But if we believe that maybe they are in rural Eastern Cape, then we have to go to that area and publish in that magazine. But you also have to utilize the radio stations to be able to tell people to say, here is your money, please come. Come forward to claim it. Thanks, Chairperson.
When I say there is no X mind left on the south side, I don't mean that there are no X mind in the south. It's the union that is not there.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Was it predominantly from the Eastern Cape?
Yeah, I wonder in. Are you on that one, Daddy?
Yes.
Can we just say?
Just to clarify, I think what I understand that MJ to be saying, he is saying that there is no such a thing called ex-mine workers union. You have mine workers all over the country, but there is no union that is called an ex-mine workers union.
Yeah,
it can't be.
That's how I understood him. Yeah, he was just clarifying. No, definitely. Members, Mom Kizer, do you have something?
Thank you, ma'am. My apologies for coming late. As you know, I've got 101 meetings to attend. Chairperson, I'm just going to move a little bit away from the discussion. I just caught bits and pieces here as I sat here, but it is of my very great concern as to whether the mine workers, when they come in, whether they are actually explained and given documentation of these terms and conditions of the employment, should they get hurt or should somebody become deceased, what is going to happen and who gets the benefits and all that. I don't know if we have a document in our labor committee here that will explain to us to say that why is certain kind of documents required before payment and what is actually the legitimate payment. I don't know if today at this meeting we are only dealing with mine workers, ma'am, because on my way I just heard on the news as well about the motor industry that is going into retrenchment by massive. I don't know whether that will be also discussed in our... I'm just saying that. I know it's off the track, but I'm just saying it because I am really getting concerned about unemployment rates rising in our country. Thank you, Chip.
Thank you, Mom Kizer. I know you'll have more questions as a labor activist or a unionist, but we don't have any document guiding us or informing us about this. This is the beginning of everything. This is the first meeting. We are going to be convening meetings with different stakeholders or decide, instead of having two meetings, we will decide how do we call them together, because we really don't have time. Even we are saying we are going to prioritize this, but we will see, we will make it like sort of a public hearing, sort of, so that everyone should be there, even this Mamasela team, Nomazele team will be here. But like I'm saying, at the same time, we have also Ulantuka Boniswa here, who is representing the minerals and energy, and of course is going to assist us in getting information on the mining houses, and what policies that exist before and now. Really, I think that will, so that, but we are going to be sitting as a committee before taking a decision how to take it forward. That was just a recommendation to say we need the trust team, because that will be the first, maybe the first one. But definitely we are going to be sitting as a committee and decide how to take it forward.
No, Chairperson, maybe I just wanted to assist in terms of saying when a mine worker comes to the mine, is there information? Yes, there is an induction process. The question is whether it is done effectively. I've been there as what was called umasiza. Our rule was that as you get employed, you figure out what happens to the before you get into your place of work, we sit down with you in the offices, we tell you all your benefits. You then write and tell us who is your beneficiary and all those kinds. So there is that information, but it does not sit with the Department of Labor. It sits with the mining house. If it is Anglo-American, if it is Harmony, whatever, it sits with that house.
No, thank you.
So that's the information that I was referring to, that, you know, we should get that information, because in their induction process, they would then tell the mine worker what he qualified for. They would have a record as to what he wrote there, yes.
Thank you. That is why Boniswa is here. She's going to assist us on what you are saying, if that was that information, so that in the meantime, while we are preparing for this, then we will be informed. And of course, Mom TJ is taking us back to what you asked about who qualifies and for what. Really, I think that is very important. But Ntate, thank you very much for this information. When I hear about this, and of course, Mom TJ, I must say that the what you heard from the media, they have started with this discussion last week of job losses. It is very it's an important topic, and of course I was also called to take part on that, and unfortunately I was driving. I couldn't just keep on stopping and talking to them, but it is a very important one. As we will be discussing, we will be also looking at what you are saying. So, Ntate Sirue and Meboni Swahloni, thank you very much, and everybody who is here. Ntate Nene?
I'm sorry. I want to check because I heard that this task committee will sit after we approve the recommendation, which will mean that this that task team will sit after our meeting next year. Does that mean? Can you clarify?
No, not necessarily, Chairperson. But what we are saying, there are things that we need to clarify. But there will be some meetings that we will start to have with different constituencies, like, for instance, if it is said you must collect the records from different organizations, that is something that you can be able to do. But the issues of resources, the issues of the terms of reference, and ministers knowing the portfolio committee need to assist us. There are some things that we'll wait for the portfolio committee to help. But some of the things that we can be able to do, we'll do without, you know, the recommendations being approved.
Meaning that if there is something that needs to be done in different provinces, the task team will have really to do that while we are sort of monitoring all this. Because as the committee now means we are given a task. Because when I get the report before, I thought, no, this was just a report and it will be dealt by another department or section within in Parliament, but not knowing that we will be given such a huge task. So as we will be going back, we will also try and get more information from our constituencies concerning this, because here we are talking about money, and we know that the presenter, Mr. Sirue, also given us the task of looking at this money, the 2.7, because the claimants are saying, or the beneficiaries are saying, this is really too little for them. We will be looking at that, because really I think problems differ, and we need to consider that. Thank you, Ndati. Just a minute.
And I recommend that if there is going to be any interaction with the provinces, those of us who are available in the provinces, maybe the task team might want to just pull us in so that we are also informed, and maybe we can make some input there. Perhaps with the mandate of the committee that we can listen on behalf of the committee, so that as we come back, at least we understand what has been going on in the province. I think that would help us.
I don't think it's a problem. I really don't think it's a problem, because here for us now, we needed to be armed when going back to our constituencies to give the right information about this. We don't want to go and excite people on what we really don't understand. But every one of you is really welcome to even call Mr. Rusurue. I'm sure you'll exchange your telephone numbers if you want more information, because really it will assist us if we take this to our constituency offices to say here is the thing and how can people be assisted. But thank you very much, Dr. Sirwe, and members. I hope you will enjoy your holidays and also your constituency work. And I know that it's a huge task. We are faced with elections, and I know that this year or next year will be a different election. We are going to be campaigning. Thank you and enjoy.
Sorry, this is some going to be a joint road committee.
Joint program. Why? Why?
You're necessary. I'm supposed to attend it, but I'm late.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, I'll think about it and I'll come back later.
I came across with that information quite some of the
So it's a very good meeting.
Yeah.
Well, so you are UIF commissioner then?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
How
did
you break
it up and do it? Oh, that's the reason. That's why. But it's going down now. Yeah, but I have the delegation list. Yeah, I asked Mr. Boas same way. And
he's
commissioner. Yeah, and his telephone number, personal number. Yeah. So, I can't.